AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's there, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols family attorney Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, you know, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court is getting a lot of attention. State Senator Melissa Agard says voters seem to be more aware of what's at stake.
Whether it's reproductive freedoms, whether it's the maps for our legislative districts, whether it's access to voting, those have been on the front burner for people in our state.
Agard speaking at a WisPolitics luncheon yesterday. The primary election is the 21st. Wisconsin dairy farmers are getting more money for their milk. The U.S. Ag Department says Wisconsin dairy farmers got $23.30 per hundredweight in December of last year. That's $1.80 more than a year before that. In sports, seven-time Super Bowl winner Tom Brady says he's retiring for good this time. The Bucks beat Charlotte last night and Marquette hosts Villanova tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke, Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers on a Wednesday afternoon, joined by William Walter for some Wednesday Tangents. Will, how you doing, big guy?
I mean, I'm great. It's the only thing I like better than a Tuesday on a Wednesday and a Friday on a Wednesday is a Wednesday on a Wednesday.
When we get it just right, it's the Goldilocks appearance by one William Walter. Really glad to have you here on this Wednesday afternoon to join me and kick around some tangents, Will. Looking forward to it. But first, folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to and where the next Civic Media station may be popping up in your neck of the woods, head over to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see all the shows, the stations. You can learn about where we're broadcasting here in Wisconsin, in Madison, on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM, in Waukesha, on the Shaw, WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM, as well as around the state on various local Civic Media stations. Well, let's get started with something I thought that was pretty intriguing last night that popped up across my radar. And I said, that's interesting. And it's a piece written up by Scott Bauer over at AP News. Headlined, "Lawsuit Seeks to Block Two Measures from April Ballot." So it seems like, you know, those nonpartisan, non-binding ballot referendum, just advisory questions for the state government that we've talked about, we've discussed on these airwaves.
I'm vaguely familiar. We've covered it a little bit, yeah.
Republican lawmakers saying, well, liberals use marijuana as a reason for their voters to go to the polls for years, so why can't we do something similar? Why can't we use ballot referendums to gin up support and get our voters to the polls come April? Well, it seems like they may have not done their diligence, and not all the T's were crossed and I's were dotted, and there's a lawsuit now filed yesterday in Wisconsin court to
block. It sounds like, Luke, they might have dotted their T's and crossed their I's on this one, huh?
I hate when that happens, Will. I hate when that happens. Just a little mix-up like that, but according to a lawsuit that was filed yesterday in Wisconsin court, these referendum were not submitted on time or to the correct officials. So let's get into this piece written up by Scott Bauer over at AP News. A lawsuit filed Tuesday by Wisconsin criminal justice advocacy groups seeks to block two Republican-sponsored measures from appearing on the ballot, on the April ballot, arguing that they were not submitted on time to the correct elections officials. One question is a proposed constitutional amendment that would allow judges to consider more factors when setting bail for violent offenders. The other is an advisory referendum that asks voters if they believe that able-bodied, childless welfare recipients should be required to look for work. Again, we've discussed on this program before, very redundant question because that's what Wisconsin...
Already a requirement, Luke.
Yes. So, these efforts were pretty blatantly put forward by the Republican lawmakers here in Madison to attempt to try to get more support. And they may have rushed it to the point where they weren't aware of all the deadlines, Will. And maybe it's because they were shaking off the rust. Let's be fair. They haven't been in legislative session for a while. They may have forgotten how to do it on time. They kicked up their feet under the desk and said, we're done with work for the year. And that was the first week of March. In 2020.
Those 10-month vacations, Luke. I know I'm not at 100% when I come back from a one-week vacation. Now multiply that by 40.
You got to give yourself some time. You know, you gotta get back into the swing of things. You can't just jump right back in and expecting like it's riding a bike, Will. You gotta be able to prepare for this. And apparently, the legislature did not. They passed the measures on January 19th. State law requires them to be, quote, filed with the official or agency responsible for preparing the ballots, end quote, at least 70 days before the election. That made the deadline for submitting these questions January 25th. The legislature submitted the ballot measures with the State Elections Commission on January 19th, the day they were passed. The commission filed them with county election officials on January 26th and told the clerks that the measures should be placed on the April 4th ballot. The commission, in a memo to clerks certifying the measures for the ballot, addressed questions about the proper place to file such questions. The commission said it was the only entity where state-level referenda questions can be filed. But the lawsuit was filed against the Elections Commission in Dane County Court by Expo, Wisconsin, and Wisdom. Expo stands for Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing. It is an affiliate of Wisdom, a statewide faith-based organization. Both groups work with people who spent time behind bars and fight against mass incarceration. Both groups were opposed to the ballot measures. And this is what the lawsuit contends, Will. It argues that the measure should have been delivered to county clerks and the Milwaukee County Elections Commission by January 25th. It is those local officials, not the State Elections Commission, who prepare the ballot, the lawsuit contends. So this is going to come down to a technicality. Whether or not this the proper...
Whether or not rules apply to Republicans, Luke, is what I'm hearing here. Well, 70 days, math checks out, that would be January 25th. January 26th is, in fact, after January 25th, I believe. Can I get a check on that? I'm no mathematician.
I already turned my calendar to February, so I'm so sorry. You're going to have to look for another expert to get you that one. But it is going to probably get at least fast-tracked, in my opinion. These ballots for April are going to have to be printed soon. Pretty much immediately after the primary results are in for the February 21st primary, April ballots will begin to get printed by local election officials. And so this is a small window. And how it's going to absolutely work is going to be interesting to see, because now the Dane County Circuit Court is going to have to review this lawsuit. I have a feeling there will be other parties that will get involved. The Republican legislature will probably take legal counsel through Will or one of the other conservative law firms here in Wisconsin to defend the legislature in this court, and we'll see. It may get fast-tracked to the state Supreme Court. But there is now a lawsuit filed saying that these ballot measures that Republicans were so hopeful they were going to get on the ballot for April may be in jeopardy now. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. What do you think, Will? Do you believe this is going to prevent these ballot measures from appearing in April, or do you think this is just going to be a minor speed bump for those conservative interests that want to gin up support on the April ballot?
I mean, I think it's more likely than not that it will end up simply being a speed bump. To give a little context with a personal experience that I had in relation to the special election that's upcoming on this April ballot as well, the signatures for that election were due on January 3rd, hard due date of Jan 3rd, right? Mm-hmm. And we began gathering these signatures in the middle of December, approximately, when candidates began announcing for this race. That gave us, what, 2.5, 3 weeks to get all the signatures required. And 10 of those days were Christmas into the new year, which is essentially a time void that doesn't exist. I'm not going to tell anyone in their right mind to go knocking on strangers' doors at that point asking for signatures.
Well, so a lot of people are away on vacation for the holidays or visiting family and loved ones, not at home. So yeah, that would be a tough time to do.
Unless they tried to fly Southwest, but then you'd have to check a previous episode if you want to catch up on that a little bit. But I reached out to ask, you know, this hard deadline, January 3rd, does that exist as a hard deadline? Is this flexible in the sense that, you know, maybe it's a day later? No, this is a hard deadline. There's a reason deadlines exist, which makes perfect sense. I will not fault anyone for having a deadline and holding us to that deadline.
Well, some recent examples of these hard deadlines, Kanye West tried to file for getting on the primary ballot here in mm-hmm. Wisconsin as a presidential candidate and missed the deadline by minutes in Milwaukee County during the county executive's primaries for signature submission to appear on the ballot. In that contest for Milwaukee County Executive, you can't have duplicate names for signing of these nomination papers. And several candidates got removed because once the duplicates were assigned one specific person, whoever had it first on the filing paperwork, the other ones didn't count, and people were disqualified from the ballot because of the very stern rules determining these things. And so it will be interesting to see. I don't know how this is. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not going to predict what can happen here in Wisconsin. We saw several lawsuits surrounding absentee ballot drop boxes that were decided very close to previous elections here in Wisconsin. It's going to be interesting to tell how this is going to play out. But there is now officially a lawsuit filed here in Dane County saying that these ballot referendum questions did not meet the deadlines for being delivered to the election officials that print the ballots.
And there's a reason you have these deadlines, Luke. Again, why are rules and regulations in place if you're not going to enforce them? It's the give a mouse a cookie, except it's with the Republicans. If you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile and a half.
Or more, depending on what they feel like trying to get away with on that given day. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I am joined by William Walter on this Wednesday afternoon. Again, if you want to share a tangent, contribute to what we're talking about, 844-967-2789. We got a couple other Wisconsin headlines we're going to get to. There was a Supreme Court candidate forum for a couple of the candidates. Not all four were there last night, but we're going to get into that as well as other updates from around the state and your tangents. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents is going to be right back.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly could. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your civic media station and the civic media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good. We'll be right back.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 23 this afternoon, under sunny skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight, mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 23. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Friday, with daytime highs approaching 6 above. 33 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Hite. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And you can join us as well, 844-967-2789. You can call or text, share your tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents. And Will, just to kind of put a bookend on the questionable future of these ballot referendum questions that were passed in time, but maybe not delivered to the proper officials on time, according to Wisconsin state law, at least according to this lawsuit that is contesting them from being on the April 4th ballot. There are two questions under consideration here. This lawsuit is looking to disqualify both of them because they missed the deadline by a day, allegedly. But one of the questions is, in my opinion, a little bit more egregious than the other. The welfare question, a redundancy, already asking to take state opinion on something that is state law. They're not looking to take it under advisory of, oh, only 20% of Wisconsinites agree with us on this. Are we going to repeal that provision? Then that's not why they're doing it. They want to get more conservative-minded voters to the polls on April 4th. The other one is a little bit more questionable. Reforming bail, giving judges a little more leeway in how to assign bail when it comes to the legal system here in Wisconsin. And all four of this, as you pointed out, all four of the candidates running for the state Supreme Court support that amendment. And I think there are interesting proposals like that for criminal justice reform that can be discussed. But if it missed the deadline, it missed the deadline. Am I right, Will?
Rules are rules. There's a reason they're there. If they didn't exist, people would push them as far as they could get away with.
Yeah, and so it will be interesting to see what comes of this lawsuit. But speaking of the state Supreme Court race, last night, two of the candidates of the four running for this race on the February 21st primary, only two will advance. But Dan O'Donnell hosting a forum last night. That's a conservative right-wing talk radio host hosting this forum between former state Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly and Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro. And it seemed like from what I've read about this event, I was not there, Will. I don't know if you were. But from reading about this event, there was a little kumbaya somewhat, but also not at the same time. What are your thoughts on the forum that took place between Kelly and Doro yesterday?
Usually I'm all for that masochism, but I could not put myself through that event, unfortunately. I had to take the night off. It's not surprising to see conservatives hosting their own judicial nominees at a essentially private event for the conservative voters, as there have been a number of private events for Judge Mitchell and Judge Protasiewicz as well. I would like to see more events where all four candidates would show up. But actually, I was speaking with Judge Everett Mitchell about a week and a half ago, and I asked, is there any more plans for another forum or debate type setting where all four candidates will be on the stage at the same time? And he said, no, unfortunately. I've been pushing for it, but it's just something that likely will not happen. And this was, you know, a couple of days after the WisPolitics forum in Madison that I attended, as we spoke about on the show. And there's just, you can't understate the value of having a person's own words directly attributed to them on a stage with the people they're going up against. So it would be very valuable if we could get every single candidate on stage together at the same point. But I think it's very unlikely for that to occur. So unfortunately, we do have to cover these type of events.
Yeah, there's only 20 days left before that spring primary, and civic media attempted to try to get something in the works. I can't say for certain that there's nothing there left, but there were attempts by organizations I know to get all four candidates on, and it seems like that has been a difficult thing to do since that WisPolitics forum last month. But they didn't really spar a whole lot. It seems like there wasn't an outright attack. That a lot of the infighting for conservatives on who to support out of these two candidates was not on display last night in the forum. We've seen different talking heads and spokespeople and whatnot kind of spar back and forth. But outside of Dan Kelly saying that he would not immediately endorse Jennifer Darrow if he loses, it seemed like there was a lot of kumbaya. They were more focused on throwing jabs at the liberal-leaning candidates in this race and the media rather than each other.
And, you know, this, you mentioned it briefly, but I see a lot of parallels to the Tim Michaels, Rebecca Clefish primary, right? Where a lot of conservatives kind of dug in their heels as the not in the sense that I see your face that you're disagreeing with me, not in the establishment sense, yeah, from okay. The voter base sense, at least based on what I'm seeing on social media, there have been a number of the more establishment Clefish type supporters who are big Dan Kelly supporters now that have been frankly lambasting Jennifer Darrow over not only the situation with her son, but for example, I believe it was last year or maybe, no, 2019, Jennifer Darrow sentenced a man to zero jail time after killing his son while drunk driving. How did I hear about this story? It was shared by a supporter of Dan Kelly, yeah, who was also on the staff of Rebecca Clefish. So
I believe I went to high school with the individual that you're saying shared that story. So
small world.
Small worlds, yeah. It is interesting. We're going to continue the conversation as well as get to your tangents. 844-967-2789. William Walter joining Dueling Tangents on a Wednesday afternoon. And Will, there's just so much more to get to because there's also a piece out about Michael Gableman, former state Supreme Court justice as well, over at the State Journal. We're going to get into that one in a little bit here. But continuing the conversation about everything relating to the state Supreme Court and former and soon to be, we'll keep talking about it here on Dueling Tangents.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The FBI is now searching President Biden's home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
This is now the third FBI search linked to a location connected to President Biden.
CBS's Adriana Diaz says it's part of the classified documents investigation. Football legend Tom Brady was up early on Twitter today.
I'm retiring for good.
Retiring for good, he says at age 45. He backpedaled on his announcement last year. CBS Sports NFL writer Tyler Sullivan says he leaves with three league MVPs and seven Super Bowl titles.
You look at what he was able to do over the amount of time he was able to do it, and that is what I think is going to be so hard to match there with Tom Brady.
It's another day of flight cancellations and driving woes in parts of the South hit by snow and ice. Three deaths are blamed on the weather. Texas transportation official Mike Peters.
Can't eliminate every patch of ice. So the biggest concern we have are folks out there driving too fast.
CBS News Brief, I'm...
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Jane Natnair. Here's what you need to know. Amtrak could expand in Wisconsin. Two groups are preparing applications for the Federal Railroad Administration's Corridor ID program, which could open the door to funding for feasibility studies. One option, passenger rail service from the Twin Cities to Milwaukee and Chicago, connecting through Eau Claire, Camp Douglas, Madison, or Columbus. The other proposal involves a regional train going from Eau Claire to the Twin Cities with several trips a day. PFAS contamination found in the waters of Green Bay. The GOP-led legislature removed most of Governor Evers' measures to address the chemicals from the 2021 budget and refused to give hearings to legislation introduced by Democrats to help communities with contamination. The concern was cost of the industry, but Republicans now seem willing to spend money to address the issue. No detectable levels of PFAS are safe for human consumption. Communities across the state are seeing them in their drinking water. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday. Sparkling thoughts. Give me the minute.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday by William Walter. And Will, I feel like that intro was for an audience of one. That was for you and you and alone. Evan, yeah.
I'm expecting that every single Wednesday from here on out.
Oh, Evan's writing checks that hopefully he can cash on future Wednesdays with William Walter.
Luke, you were just talking about how you love The Daily Show because of, yeah. It lets you recognize grown jokes, and then you turn around and completely whiff on a South Park joke. Are you serious?
I must have missed that episode. I'm sorry, man. That one, I was like, what is going on right now? And lo and behold, you picked it up. You got it.
I would be a bad... I wouldn't respect myself if I didn't pick up on a South Park joke that was made in that relevant of a moment.
Gotcha. Well, it's going to become maybe a regular Wednesday thing then, with William Walter joining me here on Dueling Tangents. Brian, in an undisclosed location, working on something really awesome that we can't wait to tell you about. But if you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, head over to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see all the stations. You can sign up to learn more about our growing network. And you can check out podcast versions like yesterday's show where Dan Schaefer joined me. Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, covering all things in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Also, he and I discussed the Milwaukee Bucks that had an excellent win last night against the Charlotte Hornets. And Dan was correct. He predicted a win, and the Bucks delivered on that. And you can check out that entire podcasted episode of Dueling Tangents on the Dueling Tangents tab at Civic Media's website. But Will, here today we are talking about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Everything seems to be circling around the court right now. It is the center of the political universe, which is what Wisconsin is. And so this forum held by the conservative candidates for the State Supreme Court last night, moderated by Dan O'Donnell. I just find that funny, he being the moderator. Oh, it's just like the icing on the cake, but whatever.
The word moderate, even if that's not like the full word being used, should not be in the same sentence.
It was emceed. Maybe that's a little bit better. He was the master of ceremonies for this forum. That probably describes his role a little bit better, too, and gets away from that word. But this event, it's an interesting explanation why Dan Kelly says he will not automatically endorse Jennifer Doro. And you pointed it out to me, so why don't you share it with the listening audience on why former State Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly will not be endorsing Jennifer Doro in this race if he were to lose on the February 21st primary?
Yeah, well, just to contextualize it a little bit, the reason it was noteworthy was because Jennifer Doro said that if Kelly comes to the primary, he will unequivocally have her support. Okay.
So she was that's an emphatic response. That is saying, yes, I will support Dan Kelly if he makes it through the primary, and I do not.
Mm-hmm. Dan, on the other hand, says he can't endorse Doro because of, get this, Judge Brian Hagedorn,
Justice,
who has, quote,
Justice
Hagedorn, my apologies, because he has not followed through on his promise to be a judicial conservative. Not that he's not following the law. That's not what Dan Kelly is upset about. He's upset that he has not been a team player by siding with the Republicans on every lawsuit to come in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Wait. Is this the same Dan Kelly that, you know, criticizes Protasiewicz and possibly Everett Mitchell for being activist judicial candidates?
It does happen to be the same Dan Kelly, Luke. Weird. I'm sure it's purely coincidence. Now, this is also the same Dan Kelly who, I believe it was this morning, was retweeting Scott Pressler, who was a Stop the Steal insurrectionist and has a very long history of leading hate groups throughout the United States that national Republicans have gotten in trouble with mainstream media for working with this individual in the past.
Yeah, and so that same Dan Kelly. Interesting. It's weird when he's talking about the conservative candidates, he frames it in not being a team player, and that's why he couldn't outright endorse Jennifer Doro, but then criticizes liberal-leaning candidates for being activist judicial candidates. And I don't know how you have that in the same event and then just don't have your mind explode from the cognitive dissonance that is those two separate ideas.
Shameless hypocrisy.
Oh,
do no. I have to drop the Will Hoyt quote, Luke? It's going to be every time I come on, I'm going to have to drop the quote. So Kelly went on to say, I had to apologize to countless hundreds of people, and I won't be put in that position again. This is not politics. This is about the court. I will promote judicial conservatism in any way that I can.
Jesus. Oh, it's just comical to me that's where it stands. So
the irony is palpable.
Yes, it is. It is very interesting to see that Dan Kelly not interested in endorsing because Brian Hagedorn, who independently looked at Wisconsin law and at times sided with the conservative justices, at other times sided with the liberal justices on the current Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And that That is the reason why Dan Kelly will not endorse.
To be fair, Luke, he also added, I don't want to go to the people again and say I endorse a candidate when I don't know what that candidate will do. He is explicitly admitting that, A, he's embarrassed that he endorsed a person who wasn't a team player, and B, he expects to know what that candidate will do based on what? What Will is telling them behind the scenes?
No, Federalist Society. Yeah,
what the Federalist Society is saying? Yeah. Like, so he should know how these judicial conservatives are going to rule on cases because of what, Dan Kelly? Please fill in the blank. And at the same time, of course, as you mentioned, he'll turn around and criticize Protasiewicz and Mitchell for the WIS Politics Forum when they said, you know, the maps are rigged. This is unjust. Something has to be done about it. Dan Kelly has the audacity to come out and say, you're letting your opinions get in the way of your judicial experience.
And the state Republican Party is now coordinating with a Barron County man in a, I don't know, petition or something to try to get Protasiewicz removed from the ballot under the guise that she broke judicial ethics. It's very interesting who has to play by what rules. And again, that gets back to, well, will the ballot referendums passed by the Wisconsin legislature actually appear on the April ballot because they missed it by a day without it being delivered to the proper election officials that administered those ballots? But Will, getting tangentially off the state Supreme Court, going to a former state Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gableman, who was tapped at the behest of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in 2021 to look into the alleged voter fraud that occurred in Wisconsin that prevented Donald Trump from winning the state's 10 electoral votes and led to President Joe Biden receiving those 10 electoral votes. And if you thought this investigation that I said the I word, I'm not supposed to say that around Gableman because it wasn't an actual investigation, but the special counsel's office's actions, I think, would be a better way to summarize what they were, are still ongoing. And this was a little bit of a surprise to me. A piece by Bill Loiters over at the Wisconsin State Journal, Will, popped up on my feed today, and the Office of the Special Counsel has now spent more than $2 million defending that legal office in court. Most of that $2 million, $1.5 million, for attorney's fees. So, Wisconsinites, we're still on the hook right now. We are being billed by conservative attorneys to represent Michael Gableman and his Office of Special Counsel in court. Still. And it is
very financially responsible of our Republican legislature, that's for sure.
February 1st of 2023, and there is still ongoing litigation and, oh my gosh, surrounding this Michael Gableman charade. That's what it was. It was a charade in 2021 and 2022 looking into the 2020 election. And so, I really, Will, I don't know what to do about this other than talk about it, because it is terrible stewardship of Wisconsin taxpayer dollars. Just
well, as Dan Kelly would say, if Justice Brian Hagedorn had just been a team player, we wouldn't have to worry about any of this. We could have just overturned the will of the Wisconsin voters immediately, and we wouldn't have had to waste your $2 million.
$2 million is a very cheap price to pay for going in and trying to establish integrity in our elections again, even though nothing was ever found. All of his reports were just full of hearsay and allegations, but actual no proof of voter fraud on any scale. And really a grotesque nature of going into nursing homes and interviewing residents of those homes on camera without them really being fully aware of what was going on to them. And then had the audacity to say, oh, well, it was the election officials that were trying to do the impropriety in these nursing homes, when they were simply tasked with trying to get individuals that wanted to vote the ability to vote in 2020. And so it's very grotesque. And the fact that we are still paying for these, like, I'm sure Robin Voss just wants this all to go away. Just the fact that he emboldened Michael Gableman to the point that Gableman was endorsing Voss's primary challenger.
I was going to say, don't forget, this didn't end until Gableman endorsed Voss's opponent. That's what really ended the investigation. Not the waste of money, not the impropriety, nothing along that line. Until Gableman stopped being a team player, he was allowed to basically siphon off taxpayer funds for his own personal gain.
Yeah, he was given a slush fund of, at the time, I believe it was $700,000 is what he was authorized to use by the Republican-led state assembly. And now we are up to more than $2 million, including nearly $1.5 million in legal fees, according to a report by WisPolitics. This is in the reporting written up by Bill Loiters over at the Wisconsin State Journal. It could yet rise by hundreds of thousands more. That's in part because Voss and attorneys for OSC, the Office of Special Counsel, are continuing to drag out litigation over the four records-related lawsuits brought by American Oversight, a liberal watchdog group. And that's important to point out as well, Will, because this is ongoing. They didn't keep any of the records of what Gableman was doing. And an organization came along and said, hey, we'd love to see the open records that are surrounding this office. We want to know how this office was conducting its business, what it was looking into, what it found when it came to anything that it was tasked to do. But again, it wasn't given a scope statement. It didn't do the basic necessities that an Office of Special Counsel should have to do to receive the taxpayer funds it was receiving. And now Voss is defending his terrible record keeping, the inability to deliver any of the information that is required under open records laws here in Wisconsin. And so Voss is just going behind the scenes all out to defend his ability to create this office, fund it without agreement. It wasn't signed off by Evers. This was not a law passed to create this Office of Special Counsel. It was an act of the legislature to go and create an office that then ran roughshod and further degraded integrity in our elections. And now they're saying, well, we're going to continue to defend those that office and those lawsuits. And
because it's a grift top to bottom, Luke. The legislature only did this to kind of throw a bone to some of the more rabid right-leaning individuals in the Wisconsin voting base. They didn't actually want to accomplish anything.
Voss, it didn't even work. Voss got primaried from those individuals. He couldn't appease them. They only wanted more. It is ridiculous to believe that Robin Voss was...
Give a mouse a cookie, Luke.
Yes, and that's how you get to this insanity, because there are still these four pending cases, and it could rise by hundreds of thousands of dollars more, but more than $2 million of your and I's taxpayer funds spent on Michael Gableman and this office to try to undermine the election integrity here in Wisconsin. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. If you'd like to join us and share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've met Ted Cruz more than once. Once
in Wisconsin. Oh, yes, he has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 23 this afternoon, under sunny skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight, mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 23. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Friday, with daytime highs approaching 6 above. 33 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Hite. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined today for Wednesdays with William Walter. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789. And Will, it is February 1st. We are kicking off the
already. Jeez.
Yeah, January flew by, and it is February now, and the state of Wisconsin, through various events this month, will be celebrating Black History Month all throughout February. And that begins here in Madison, up at the state capitol. Several events will be held by members of the Legislative Black Caucus. 10 events in total throughout the month of February that focus on education, health, environmental justice, and business in Wisconsin's Black community. And it's a pretty interesting day, because the same day that we're kicking off Black History Month, Will, is the same day that the College Board that oversees AP classes throughout high schools across the country rolled back the content of what is included in AP African American Studies. And the College Board put out a really, really washy statement that says, oh, well, this, we weren't caving to political pressure. We were doing this for other reasons. But we've got to be honest, Will. This is because...
this was done because of Ron DeSantis.
Yes. And there,
almost exclusively.
There has been a history of scholastic organizations and publishing have done similar things. Like, the state of Texas is one of the largest purchasers of history books because of the size of the state of Texas. And so in Texas before, there's been the molding of what is and is not included in history textbooks, because Texas wouldn't buy certain history books. And so this is kind of par for the course on how we as a country unfortunately handle these situations. But yes, Ron DeSantis was working the refs. He said that AP African American Studies would not be taught in Florida classrooms, and the College Board caved. And it removed the content that Ron DeSantis, the state of Florida, was criticizing. And even then, and if you want to say, okay, well, this isn't political pressure that led to this, now there is a portion of that course, that AP course, that includes Black conservatism. Very fascinating, Will, that they remove the politically charged, as Ron DeSantis believes, Black Lives Matter movement, but then included Black conservatism in this course after amending the other aspects of it.
Yeah, it's almost as if they consider anything that's not conservative to inherently be radical liberal. Like, you're either with us or you're against us. Team player, mob mentality, right? We've been talking about it all show in regard to the Supreme Court race. It just seems that's how the entire party operates. If you either are a rabid conservative or you are a radical liberal, no matter what your ideology might be, if you're different than us, you are inherently bad and you are inherently wrong. And they're essentially admitting that the entire course for them was just a partisan project to try to, you know, garner interest from their base at the national level. You look at what the College Board purged. It included the names of many Black writers and scholars historically associated with critical race theory, the queer experience, Black feminism, as well as removing Black Lives Matter from the formal curriculum. This was not done for the academic integrity of the students, right? I mean, anybody who's going to argue that with a straight face is arguing in bad faith.
Well, David Coleman, the head of the College Board, said in an interview that the changes were all made for pedagogical reasons, not to bow to political pressure. Quote, "At the College Board, we can't look to statements of political leaders," he said. "The changes," he said, "came from," quote, "the input of professors and longstanding AP principals." Sure.
Well, then why can't we have a Black progressivism option if we're doing this, like, both sides of the aisle thing?
No, they didn't cave to political pressures, Will. They took the input from professors and from longstanding AP principals. What kind of AP principals are those? That's interesting to have those AP principals include the 25% roughly of the course content that was in there being attacked by Ron DeSantis and Republican state lawmakers in Florida, but then removed once that political pressure was applied. But it wasn't political pressure that led to it. I don't know how you come out and put that statement out after caving like this, Will. It is, mm-hmm. it's fascinating that that is the statement coming out of the head of the College Board. But again, we are now in a state of affairs that the state of Florida is removing all books off of its bookshelves because they don't want to receive fines or get fired or appear.
I mean, this kind of sounds like indoctrination, doesn't it? You'll do and say and learn what we tell you to do and say and learn, and if we don't like it, we'll have it removed from the curriculum.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. And the conservative movement that said, well, we believe in local control and for parents to determine what is good through the school boards for their individual school districts, that's all said and gone now. This is the overarching state passing movements in Florida that is causing local officials to not know what it's the same approach as abortion policy.
Care in Wisconsin. Yeah.
The healthcare professionals are not offering abortion services during this legal limbo period that we are in because it is unknown what the actual laws are now that Dobbs was decided by the state or by the U.S. Supreme Court and overturning Roe v. Wade. In that decision, healthcare providers are left in this limbo.
When you're facing questionable legal repercussions, you can't ask someone to put their career, their life, the money that's going to put food on their family's table. You can't ask them to put that on the line without knowing how any of these decisions are going to be made.
Yeah. And so anybody that tells me that, I'm a small government conservative and I support Ron DeSantis going forward as governor of Florida. And if he were to run for president, I say to that, I don't think you know what those things that you're saying actually mean, because that is not what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida. This is indoctrination. This is forced large government of the state of Florida determining what can and cannot be taught in their schools. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really appreciate you, Will, for joining me on this Wednesday afternoon. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can follow Will and I there as well. And we'll be back maybe for a different edition, and we'll have to see what day Will pops up next.
I don't know yet what I think of Wednesdays on a Monday or Wednesdays on a Thursday. I'll have to figure that out in the near future.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see how those feel for you. But I really appreciate you joining me, Will. Everybody, Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Please, Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.